Chapter 32. I have risen. Thus he teaches mortals to lay down their fleshliness and gain spirituality. Mary Baker Eddy, 1906. A lengthy letter from Mrs. Stetson brought a response from the leader on July 14th, which stated in part, "I want you to write me a letter containing your statement of the case of cancer that you cured. Also, copy some other portions of your last most excellent letter to me. Make the letter short enough to be published in our periodicals." On August 3rd, before the publication of Mrs. Stetson's abbreviated letter, the leader wrote her again. "Since writing you on the subject of giving testimony on disease, God has shown me that error of any sort is no help to truth. Therefore, I shall publish your dear letter to me, but not the testimony on disease, which I requested of you." It would appear that the dragon's intensified warfare against spirituality, following the worldwide favorable publicity, gave Mrs. Eddy a great deal to meet. By the 1st of August, the defending and upholding of her spirituality against the deadly attacks demanded her every thought, every moment. Even the disease mentioned in a beautiful testimony of healing was, quote, "no help to truth," end quote. But she did find help in a letter from Calvin C. Hill and wrote to him on August 2nd. "Mother's darling, your dear letter strengthens me. I am having much of the experience that you name, but on an opposite basis utterly. Quote, when first I learned my Lord," end quote, "I was so sure of truth, my faith so strong in Christian Science. As I then discovered it, I had no struggle to meet, but stood on the height of its glory, a crowned monarch, triumphant over sin and death. But behold me now, washing that spiritual understanding with my tears, learning little by little the allness of omnipotent mind and the nothingness of matter, yea, the absolute nothingness of nothing, and the infinite somethingness of all. Oh, bear with me, loved one, till I accomplish the height, the depth, the horrible light of divine life, divine love, divine health, holiness, and immortality. The way seems not only long, but very straight and narrow. Loving in Christ, yours ever, Mary Baker Eddy." The enemy's deadly blows were forcing the leader up higher. She must rise or perish. And in this supreme effort to rise beyond the reach of the enemy's shafts, she turned to the workers in her household for help. But alas, she received very little help. Not that they did not try, but no one understood her position. They did not know that she was the one target for the hatred and lust of the whole world. She alone knew the meaning of the words she had written to General Bates more than a decade earlier. Quote, "You could not take my place and hold your phenomena of human life," end quote. Now, when she sought aid in holding her, quote, "phenomena of human life," end quote, the thoughts of her students were either so material that they chafed, or so fearful that they were an added burden. But even harder for her to bear was a lack of understanding and appreciation of the leader's position, which at times caused some in her household to think she made much ado about things of little consequence. But there was one loyal, faithful student who was a strong, earnest worker, who never questioned her leader and always obeyed instantly. Mrs. Eddy called Calvin Hill to Pleasant View and asked him to deliver this letter to Mrs. Stetson in New York. August 7th, 1906. My beloved student, I would love to have you come to me and stop a few days with me in my home. Do not let anyone know that you are coming here. With my deepest love, M. B. Eddy. Note well, if you can do as I ask, please tell Mr. Hill to telegraph yes and the date from Boston on his immediate return from New York. Again, thine, M.B.E. There is no doubt that Mr. Hill telegraphed yes immediately upon his return from New York, and that Augusta arrived as soon after August 7th as was possible. There were many times when Augusta Stetson did not understand Mrs. Eddy, but many years earlier, mind had revealed to Mrs. Stetson that Mary Baker Eddy was the manifestation of the second coming of the Christ. For that reason, she was able to follow implicitly and to accept unhesitatingly whatever the leader said, whether she understood it or not, and regardless of how much the human mind might rebel. However, the world was not ready for the revelation that had come to Augusta, and the leader had had to caution her in this regard. Although the revelation was true, Augustus's comprehension had to grow up to that truth, for she did not always properly distinguish between corporeality and spirituality. Nearly 6 years earlier, the leader had written, "Darling Augusta, my precious child, I will have you come to me and try to set you just right on this question once more. Malicious animal magnetism is darkening the thought on this in two ways. First, to make all students turn from taking my advice and strike out blindly on their own from judgment of spiritual things. The second is to make them believe and say, I am the Christ. Now, dearest one, I have denied this privately and publicly and charged you not to say it so many times. I love you for your faithful work in the field, but darling, you injure the cause and disobey me in thinking that I am Christ or saying such a thing. And malicious animal magnetism is causing you to do this. Read my books on this subject and you will find I always explain Christ as the invisible and never corporeal. Jesus was a man, corporeal. Christ was, is, and forever will be the Holy Ghost, or in scientific phrase, the spiritual idea of God. I am corporeal to the senses, even as Paul was, but God has anointed me to do his work, to reveal his word, to lead his people, and your faithful adherence to my directions and love for me has caused you to prosper in the field, even as you have. Now, never again, I implore you, get the Trinity wrong in what you teach. Jesus was the man that was a prophet and the best and greatest man that ever has appeared on earth. But Jesus was not Christ, for Christ is the spiritual individual that the eye cannot see. Jesus was called Christ, only in the sense that you say, a godlike man. I am only a godlike woman, God anointed, and I have done a work that none others could do. As Paul was not understood, and Jesus was not understood at the time they taught and demonstrated, so I am not. As following them and obeying them blessed all who did thus, so obeying me and following faithfully blesses all who do this. Now, darling, never again misinterpret Christ or the visible. When Jesus said, quote, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God," end quote, he was endeavoring to keep his followers from deifying personality. Mrs. Eddy was doing exactly the same thing in this letter. It did cause Augusta to change her teaching and her talking on the subject, but it did not change her thought. That had been a revelation from love, which nothing could change. When Augusta arrived at Pleasant View, she found those closest to the leader quite concerned, and Mrs. Eddy struggling with suggestions of physical problems, though maintaining her regular daily routine. Augusta recorded a little of what transpired while she was there. Some of the leader's words during their first interview were, "This is what they have done to me. If I had taken the time to take care of myself, it would not be so. Take care of yourself. You have fear. You see an error and you walk right up to it, but you don't always put your foot on it. Do you think of me when you are treating? People heal through the book. Heal them yourself through your own reflection. I have risen. Don't look for me in matter. I have risen. You worship this," pointing to herself. "Yes, you do." Mrs. Stetson, "You say I do. I do not think I do." Mrs. Eddy, "You worship me. Abhorrence of personality. Turn your thought away from me. Go to God for everything. Open the Bible and Science and Health. These two are your guide. In your trouble, you have come to me." Mrs. S., "When I've gone to God, He has always sent you." Mrs. E., "He always will send me." Mrs. S., "If you have risen, this is the first resurrection, and your resurrection must be my resurrection." Before their interview ended, the leader called Mr. Strang in and said she wanted him to hear what she had told Augusta. So Mrs. Stetson said to Mr. Strang, "I must not look to idea, but to God. I must, however, acknowledge the idea when God sends it." During the days Augusta spent in Concord, Mrs. Eddy asked her to treat her for specific claims, but failed to receive the instantaneous help that others received from her. However, the rest of the household, feeling abused, overworked, and unappreciated, experienced relief from Augustus's presence and work. On August 12th, the leader said to Caroline Foss, "It comes to me in my prayer to tell you that disobedience and self-justification are the cause of your not mastering malicious animal magnetism. I have begged of you to quit telling me why you did a thing wrongly, but you have not obeyed me. I have told you it is like the sick excusing sickness. Tell why they are sick. And you do know that this would tend to make it real and to justify sickness. Augustus Stetson had come closer to overcoming disobedience and self-justification than had any other of Mrs. Eddy's students. For that reason, she benefited more from the rebukes and could bear up under them with far less reaction than most of the others experienced. Her example was helpful to those who could see. It may have been during this trying period that Caroline Foss was sent home, for her service terminated in August. It was also in August that Clara Knox McKee came to Pleasant View to serve the leader. One day, following her daily drive, the leader sent for Augusta, who came quickly, sat by her, and admired her bonnet. Mrs. Eddy was pleasant and chatty, and Augusta recorded their conversation. Mrs. Stetson, where is your pretty coat, your pretty gown? Mrs. Eddy, is a pimple on the face any more real than a boil? Mrs. Stetson, is a pretty new dress any more real than an old homely one? Mrs. Eddy, no, only that a pretty gown holds my thought to my body. Mrs. Stetson, the homely old one would hold my thought to my body. The next morning, Mrs. Eddy's bell summoned all to her study, and she said sternly, quote, you asked me yesterday why I did not wear my pretty gowns. I have to work for you while you dress in your pretty gowns, end quote. Augusta opened her Bible to Mark 1, verse 13, and read, quote, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. End quote. What are angels? Said Mrs. Eddy. God's thoughts, Augusta responded. That's just it, said the leader, and dismissed them all. Mrs. Eddy opened her Bible and her eyes fell on the parable in Matthew 12, verse 43. She called Augusta back and said to her, see what I've opened to? Would you go into a frenzy if I should read this to you? Augusta answered, not at all, no matter what you say to me. Then Mrs. Eddy read from her Bible. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. A year later, in August of 1905, Mrs. Eddy had told this to her household in a very gentle manner. They were all working diligently to cleanse their house, consciousness, and it was swept and garnished, but empty. On that occasion, the leader had told them that the moral atmosphere at Pleasant View was perfect, but that there was a lack. They had not filled their cleansed and empty house with spirituality. On this occasion, in August of 1906, she was not so gentle with Augusta, and read the next verse. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself 7 other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. The leader said to Augusta, relative to her treating, quote, "You hurt me. You use willpower. Don't touch me. Leave me alone," end quote. But she also said, quote, "If you can heal that man of cancer, why can't you heal my bowels?" end quote. Augusta probably asked herself that question many, many times, and the answer was most likely the same as it is for all students today: a lack of spirituality. Cleansing the house, consciousness, is not sufficient. It must be filled with spirit if we would not have our problems multiply. On the 18th of August, Mrs. Eddy sent Augusta home. The next day, this earnest worker wrote a lengthy, helpful letter to a student of hers who was serving the leader at Pleasant View, probably Miss Jessie T. Colton, who went to Pleasant View in July 1906. August 19th, 1906. My beloved student, I know that God will give you wisdom, strength, and divine love to minister to our beloved leader in this and every hour that she may need you. Every moment you can claim of your time, declare for God's allness, presence, and power, and the nothingness of a so-called claim to another power. Read your Bible and Science and Health every spare moment, and this will keep your thought clear to reflect God. You know that God is with you, and that every member of the dear household is reflecting love divine to our darling leader. God is her life, and you know that he will manifest through her his mighty power to mankind. Christ Jesus is her example. She will have, quote, 12 legions of angels, end quote, to watch with her, and the dear loving ones who do all they can to go as far as possible with her. God will, quote, feed, end quote, her, quote, famished affections, end quote. Science and Health, page 17. I am obeying her and keeping my mind fixed on Christ. I pray to God without ceasing that I may dwell in the secret of his presence every moment. I have suffered out of the flesh far enough to know that the will of the flesh has no power but to destroy itself. God's will is my will. There is no other, and I live in him. There is a great distance between us and our precious leader. She is rising Christward, and we are trying to help her as a child who has just learned to stand alone tries to follow the mother. But if we obey the Sermon on the Mount and her teachings in Science and Health, and cling to God, knowing that all evil is unreal, when we meet it with truth and love, we shall be saved. Sin, sickness, and death will yield to life, love, and truth. Be obedient to God's law, and do not fail to pray that you may serve our beloved acceptably. I am writing this to you, dear, because she told me to help you, and I know of no better way than to write you and let you know that I am unable to go further with you personally, as she wants me to rise with her and leave all work in the home to those who are there. She told me yesterday that she had risen, and that if I held only to God and his idea, not thinking of her corporeality, that I would always be spiritually with her as idea. And so I look to God and to his spiritual idea, my leader and teacher, and I find her in mind. I believe we have both come to the hour when, as she has said, quote, where God is, we can meet, and where God is, we can never part, end quote. Miscellany, page 131, line 20. I am peaceful and strong. I have declared the truth in love as I read it in Science and Health. My love for her is deathless because I do not look for her in matter. My Father will not disregard his promises to me to guide and guard and save me if I endure to the end of all belief of life, truth, intelligence, and substance in matter. God will move you to do what is right. Do not fear. Fear is the absence of love. A lie, for love is God, and God is never absent. Fear incapacitates you and would prevent you from helping her as you would. Handle the lie of aggressive mental suggestion with the word of God. Know the voice of truth and obey our leader. Do as far as you can just what she asks you to do. God will supply you with strength. Give my love to dear Mrs. L. and tell her to work faithfully for our beloved leader. Give my endless love to Laura and Mr. Fry and Mrs. Leonard. Thank Mr. Lewis C. Strang for his kind letter just received, commending me for the work I did for the leader while in her home. He says that every member of the household is grateful to me for what I did for her while there. Thank God the flesh-veiled eyes are all opening, and we are not looking into the grave, the matter body, to find each other in God's image. We are now, ever were, and ever will be, life, love, and truth reflected. Always your loving, faithful teacher, Augusta E. Stetson. While Augusta was writing this letter in New York, Lewis Strang was working at Pleasant View with the following watch, which the leader gave to him that same day. Your mother in Israel calls upon you this day. Rejoice with her in sense spiritual. Know there is one mind, truth, love, and all will be met. Behold, I make all things new, is the promise Christ-like. Do you, dear Lewis, understand this? Then rise up. Defeat the enemy without our gates that defileth and maketh a lie. No night, no darkness. All is mind. All is God. Good. Hold to this until I say change. The suffering and struggling this August, which were forcing the leader up higher, did not stop her work for her church, but caused her to take it up higher, too. She wrote to all three editors on August 4th, "One other improvement I beg to have made in our periodicals, namely, keep out of them all descriptions of shocking suffering and the symptoms of disease. Rehearsing error is not scientific. I know that you agree with me in this statement, and therefore will adopt what I herewith suggest. Publish, as usual, the testimonies on healing. Give due authority, therefore, and sometimes state the opinions of the MDs on disease, but do this in a way that will not offend them. You can introduce this change to your contributors in a wise way and request them to conform to it strictly. After the next sentinel came out, the leader wrote to McClellan further on this issue. The testimonials are better, but are not right yet, not stated so as to prevent an image of disease from getting into thought. This is the way to keep out a distinct form in thought of disease. If the disease is called, quote, floating kidney, end quote, you should write it fatal or dangerous, etc. Disease of the kidneys. Do not give the special name of a disease or of a complaint, but state the disease in general terms. If this is not enough to suit the author of the articles, keep it all out. A new bylaw was published in the next issue of the Sentinel on August 18th. This bylaw, entitled Testimonials, was essentially the same as the present Article 8, Section 24, Manual, page 47. Testimony in regard to healing of the sick is highly important. This testimony, however, shall not include a description of symptoms or of suffering. There had been a good deal of correspondence with Mrs. Stetson regarding her testimonial letter as this change in, quote, testimonials, end quote, was developing. Finally, on August 10th, Mrs. Eddy wrote to her editor, "I have now got Mrs. Stetson's article to you for the last time. Pardon the trouble I may have occasioned you. All my part in it has been to shorten it and remove her too much praise of me. Let it appear in both Sentinel and Journal and in our next issues. Note well, keep this as quiet as possible till it is published." In the Sentinel of August 18th, the day that Mrs. Stetson returned to New York from Pleasant View, Mr. McClellan published, quote, "a helpful letter to Mrs. Eddy from one of her students, whose work in Christian Science has done much for the advancement of our cause," end quote. My precious leader and teacher, I am ever searching my inmost consciousness and praying earnestly and continually for God to open my spiritual eyes that I may behold wondrous things as you, his chosen messenger, reveal his law and unfailing love. As I behold this First Church of Christ Scientist of New York City, a tribute of love and gratitude to you, beloved, our prayer in Concord Granite, which my students and members of this church have reared to you, I praise God for this evidence of his love. Every day I see proofs of your unselfed watch care and love for your students, including me and mine. How often during the church services I wish you could see the great congregation and hear the testimonies of wonderful deliverance from sin, sickness, sorrow, and death, and their appreciation of your great works and your book, Science and Health. You thank me for getting you wearing apparel and feel indebted to me for the favor. I am indebted to you for perfect physical health and almost unlimited strength, for a large body of loving, loyal students and church members, for a large church edifice which shelters multitudes who come to learn through Christian Science the way to eternal life. I am indebted to you for the understanding of God's power to heal through man, which recently enabled me to destroy a cancer in the mouth and throat in one treatment, all evidence having disappeared after the second treatment. This was 9 weeks ago. Ever your loving student, Augusta E. Stetson. Before the end of August, the leader gave a statement to Mr. Strang to deliver to one of her directors along with this message. The enclosed statement, hand to Mr. Armstrong, Friday. Tell him, do not come to Pleasant View until I say so, and hold no more such board meetings as this last reported to me here, or I shall not be responsible for results. This cause depends upon healing, healing and wisdom. If these are not added, the salt will lose his savor, and this cause drop down into darkness of oblivion of centuries again. The leader did not say that healing and wisdom must be retained, but that they must be added to uphold her cause. Mrs. Eddy received numerous letters in response to her article, quote, Personal Contagion, end quote. A number of them were published in the Sentinel, including this one from Chicago. Beloved teacher, you have many times explained to me how in many ways the students have burdened your every day for years and years. Last night, I shed many a tear when I thought of the unspeakable burdens that have been laid upon you by us all, and of the continuous sacrifice in which your association with us has involved you. And although it may be of no consolation to you, I want you to know that for any weight of care or sorrow that has ever been laid upon you by me, I am from the depths of my heart's affection sorry beyond description. Lovingly, your student, Edward A. Kimball. There were also a great many letters thanking the leader for the new bylaw regarding testimonials, one of which was from the faithful Mrs. Nixon. Beloved leader, the new bylaw on testimonials has already accomplished wonders in thought, although this is the first Wednesday since its publication. Your marvelous wisdom is again seen, and the song, quote, What a leader! What a leader! End quote, sings itself in my heart continually. We long to understand and obey you, and I believe this new command falls on listening ears and longing, loyal hearts. I thank God and feel with others a new life and impulse for your dear Wednesday evening testimonial meetings. God bless you, dear leader and teacher. With deepest love, your student, Helen A. Nixon. Many of the letters the leader received touched her heart, and there were many that cost her a tear. She was moved to reply to one letter in the summer of 1906 with these words, quote, Your perceptions are like apples of gold in pictures of silver. End quote. The letter to Mrs. Eddy that elicited this response was from Mrs. Fanny B. Hunt, a practitioner in Chicago, who wrote, I am indeed grateful for all that you have done and are still doing for mankind. I am showing this gratitude to you by devoting all my time to healing the sick, so-called, reforming the sinner, so-called, and uplifting the sorrowful, so-called. But I would be much more grateful for that quality of human consciousness which could progress through an individual understanding of what you are teaching in word and deed, instead of compelling you to make bylaws to rectify mistakes that are purely the result of a false concept of what Christian Science really is. It certainly takes time to write bylaws as well as to read telegrams. I am jealous of your time and am praying for the day and hour when you will be permitted to spend your time and thought on mind and its activities instead of matter and its errors. Mrs. Hunt saw that it was the shortcomings of the students and their lack of scientific understanding that constantly required additional bylaws. But she was mistakenly hoping for understanding in, quote, human consciousness, end quote. The uplifting moral qualities of the second degree are requisite. But understanding must be spiritual to be on a firm foundation and to be termed reality. Also in August, on the 10th of the month, Mrs. Eddy was signing the certificates for the Board of Education class just completed. 3 days earlier, Louis Strang had written to the Board of Trustees regarding the new cover for the Sentinel. I returned the sketch for the cover of the Sentinel. Mrs. Eddy has examined it and endorses it. The only suggestion that she made is a different style of headdress for the woman. On August 10th, Strang wrote the trustees again. Mrs. Eddy approves of the new arrangement of the headdress. The only change that she suggests in the last design submitted is the omission of the CS seal, the cross and crown, with, quote, heal the sick, raise the dead, end quote, etc. She thinks that the effect without this will be more artistic. In fact, she is very much pleased with it. The Christian Science seal, the cross and crown, encircled by the words, quote, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, end quote, had been on the top of the first page of Volume 1 when it was first issued, without a cover, as the Christian Science Weekly. It was January 19, 1899, when Mrs. Eddy renamed the paper Sentinel and gave it the motto, quote, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, end quote. Both title and motto appeared for the first time on the front page of the next issue, that of January 26, 1899. The seal continued to be included on the front of each copy. The first cover design, which included the CS seal and the motto, had begun with Volume 2 in September 1899, and had been used for 7 years. This original cover had a torch on each side of the contents. Now, in 1906, the first issue of Volume 9 of the Christian Science Sentinel appeared on September 1st with a very significant change. The poet had seen that a lady with a lamp shall stand in the great history of our land, a noble type of good, heroic womanhood. The discoverer had presented her discovery to the world. The founder had established this discovery upon a firm foundation, which the world could neither ignore nor destroy. And now the time had come for the leader, the, quote, lady with a lamp, end quote, to stand forth Her loyal students had always looked upon her as the leader. But now the fact of her leadership is being proclaimed to all the field. Every move the leader made held great significance. The paper is still a sentinel on guard, and the model remains, watch. But why is the seal removed? The leader often said something to silence or to satisfy mortal mind. In this case, she said, quote, "The effect without this will be more artistic," end quote. That satisfied. But we know that the forever leader never did anything simply because it would be more artistic. Surely that was not her reason for removing the Christian Science seal from the Sentinel. What was her reason?